Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is Thursday, April 17th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotorVitality and whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Although, I will tell you, I think a week, maybe 2 weeks behind on uploading them. So that is one of the reasons to hop on here live. We love having you on here for a discussion, and sometimes I try and get them uploaded within a day or two, but sometimes they get behind. So the next couple days, you'll probably see three of them hit the podcast. On that note, I also I'm taking them off of Google Podcast, so you will not be able to find most of these on Google Podcast because I won't bore you guys with the reasons for that, other than to say that it interferes with my YouTube channel, and I can't figure out how to make that not happen. So you'll have to use one of the other podcast applications on there. So. Also, the other announcement to make is that there will be no call next week. The MotorVitality team will be in Long Beach, California at the Water Quality Association convention. And so no call next week. And but we will talk to you in 2 weeks, where we will probably do a nice WQA recap, and a lot of times, stay tuned, because a lot of times after the conventions, we end up with several guests that are guest speakers that are always kind of interesting. We sort of look for those opportunities there. I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is before we hop into our topic. It's kind of fun because we did this last week, and most of the conversation ended up being about this stuff, and so we postponed our topic for today. I always love those impromptu conversations anyway, so please feel free always to jump in. Our topics are always secondary compared to what you guys want to talk about, except when we have a guest. So anyway, I always ask, was there anything this last week that you learned that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have? Well, then let's jump right into our topic from last week. So you guys don't want to talk. I know a couple of you were really excited about the topic last week. So, this is one of those things that we're talking a little bit about scams and fraud and stuff that impacts our businesses, whether we are in sales or in management, or even just personally in our everyday lives. And in today's world, where things are digital, where we it feels a little like you can't win sometimes. I mean, it's like you're being bombarded from all different angles, everything from what they call phishing emails. That's spelled phishing. That's where somebody will send you an email that looks legitimate. It directs you to a website that looks like like a banking website or a PayPal website is a big one. In reality, the website itself, maybe there's a, instead of a number one, there's an I, a capital L or I or whatever, something in the domain that looks, in the page looks exactly like, and you go to log in to your account and you can't, you're not, for whatever reason, it won't let you log in. Password incorrect, but it doesn't matter. You put in the right password. What ended up happening was you just put your password and username into a tracker that gave the scammers the ability to log into your bank or your PayPal account. Those types of things. And a lot of times you get an attachment, and they'll randomly send stuff out that you know, it'll be an email that sounds like it's from somebody legitimate. You know, we get these all the time in our, at our domain. I mean, we've got a pretty good spam protector, and it blocks. I mean, if I look at my spam, the emails that have been blocked by our spam guard, it's, I mean, there are hundreds of them that come in. But sometimes one will slip in and it will be, you know, please take a look at this proposal. Really excited to work with you. And every once in a while, it'll be somebody that I've been in conversations with about doing, you know, some collaborating or working with. And I'll tell you, it's hard not to, I mean, you, especially when you're busy or you're like, oh yay, that email came in, you know, and all it takes is just the one time you open up the attachment and then bam, your whole computer is infected. You know, they've got, I mean, there are those attachments, you open them up, it looks like it's completely legitimate. It looks like it came from a name, you know, you just see the name. It looks like it came from somebody, you know, and now your computer is infected. Maybe if you're lucky, it's only that they got your contacts from, you know, from your email. And so they now send out all the emails to your contacts. That's the least of which. I've actually had it to where, it's been a while because I now have virus protection and I'm a lot more savvy on this stuff, than I used to be, but, there are some of those attachments that the first thing they do is they go in and they shut down your virus protector, and they prevent your virus protection from being able to schedule updates or complete a scan. You know, so they go in and hijack the programming on that stuff. I mean, some of it's pretty sophisticated out there. This topic came up because and I mentioned this briefly last week, we sent a check to one of our vendors, and the vendor called, Michelle was, you know, keeping track of our books, and the vendor called and said, hey, you know, where's that check? And Michelle looked at our bank, and the check was cashed. The dollar amount was right. They, you know, everything, the timing looked about right. The check was cashed, but Michelle went in deeper and discovered that somebody, which she was able to view the check at our bank, the cash check, and realized that somebody had stolen the check from the mailbox and washed, they call it washing, and they washed off the security features on the check, wrote the check to a bogus company, cashed it, left my signature there, left the dollar amount and the date there. They just changed the security features on the check, and you know, just a pain. I mean, that happened to be just slightly over $4,000 that, you know, for a small business, that's significant. For the vendor that we, you know, the supplies that we get from, you know, it could have an impact on our business as a whole. And the truth is, very difficult to catch those individuals. You know, a lot of it, you know, they obviously have people on the ground whose job it is to steal these checks, and they have a, you know, an operation that's going to be domestic. But a lot of it looks like a lot of the entities are coming from overseas, and it's just very difficult to track down the primary players of this stuff. So, I mean, just yesterday, I got an email that slipped through my spam protection, and it said it came from PayPal administration. It came to the email address that I use on my PayPal account. It said PayPal has... you know, there's a suspicious activity on your PayPal account. Did you make this transaction? And it was like this transaction that had an invoice or a request for Bitcoin on it, saying that I had authorized like $700 worth of Bitcoin. And I mean, it looked completely legitimate. There was a link there to go directly, you know, to PayPal. I'm aware of this type of stuff, so I did not click on that link. In fact, if you hover over the link, you can see the URL and see that it clearly does not take you to the PayPal site. I did log in separately from a completely different web page. I logged into my PayPal account to check to make sure that everything was kosher. But that slipped through. And I'll tell you, if you're busy or you're not aware of that type of stuff, it can have an impact. Now, why is this relevant on this call? It's because we are all using, you know, a lot of times we're using company computers, we're using company phones, and we get busy. And these one little seemingly innocent click, I don't know if you guys have ever had, I'll open this up for discussion because I'm interested to hear what you guys, you know, some of the stuff that's happened with you guys, but sometimes, you know, you kind of get busy. I get behind an email sometimes. I mean, when I have a class here, I get between all the email addresses and all the junk mail and everything, probably 200 emails a day. And I usually, throughout the day, I try and keep up with them. But I sometimes when I have a class and we work really long days, I sit down in the mornings or in the evening and I'll go through and I mean, the one thing that happens, I accidentally delete emails sometimes that I needed to see. But the other thing that might happen is you just get busy. You kind of, like, you just click on it just to see if it's what it is. And suddenly you've embedded, you know, malware onto your device, whether it's your phone or your computer. And now it completely disrupts. It may not only disrupt your work, but also, I mean, potentially, your companies. It could have a complete disruption on your company, and it could potentially disrupt. I mean, those of you that have mailing lists, you know, that you send stuff out to all your customers, you know, your newsletter or whatever. Suddenly, you know, your customers are getting hammered with this. I remember this has been years ago, before I had protection on my website. We went to one of the WQA conventions, and somebody had. They hacked into my website and put a redirect on my website so that if people went directly to my website, no problem, they get to my website. But if they searched and clicked on it from like Google or whatever, it would redirect them to all kinds. I mean, some of them were porn sites, some of them were fake antivirus sites, and I didn't find out for months. It was a couple months before finally I had a customer that told me, you know, I couldn't figure out where the traffic was, you know, why we weren't getting traffic or whatever, but a customer mentioned it to me that they thought that I'd been hacked, and I looked into it, and that ended up costing me, in order to have my website scrubbed, and I mean, it cost me a couple $1,000s to repair my website, and which is why now I pay a substantial amount of money for, you know, protection on the website. And by the way, if you think that your company is too small, these hackers, these people on the, if you have your company website and you do not have protection on your website, what I learned was that they are more likely to attack a small business website, a small company, than they are a large company, because the large companies are more likely to have the protection. Have the security protection, whereas a small business either is not going to be aware of it or is not going to have the resources to protect the website. So bottom line is we get barraged on a daily basis, and I know that we all get busy, but we have to be diligent because these things do have the ability to completely disrupt our business and our income. I'm curious, what are your experiences with this? And we'll kind of summarize some feedback or some ideas, you know, that we can do to avoid some of this stuff. But what experiences do you guys have? Have you run across this? What have you seen? You know, sometimes education is the key, being aware that these things are out there, that this is the type of things that people, you know, that these are the type of risks there are. But what, What have you guys noticed? What have you seen?
Hi, this is Jose from Purified Solutions. How's it going,
Hey,
buddy?
Jose. Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey.
Good to have you on.
Good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. So I used to be an IT guy for many years before I started the water industry. WAN specialized and all that. So I realized how things were evolving, and especially during COVID now, where it spiked the amount of hackers and people just finding a way to steal money online and so forth. It's gotten to a point where you will get an email that looks like it's from your own bank, and somehow they know that you have a bank account in that bank or that brand or that company. And sometimes it's so real that I personally, because I used to be a hacker too at the company at Estee Lauder. I used to work there for 17 years. Finding ways to reverse engineer software coming in from the outside. And even for me, it has been very difficult sometimes to realize that it's a spam or a hack that they're trying to fish in versus a real. So I had to sometimes call the bank and say, hey, did you guys send me something here? And I can tell you that 9 times out of 10, they would say no. And in my mind, I would just think, I can imagine all these people that are completely illiterate with, computers, and they just click on things, not even realizing what's happening. And like you said, it takes over your computer or takes over your information and steals it. But even worse for people like us that we're running businesses, our clients may get affected because we send emails to clients. We communicate with them with probably the same computer that we use for personal use and so forth. And they also may think that, oh, it's something coming from my buddy that is doing the water. Let me click and open it. And they get infected too. And, you can get a lawsuit out of that too because you're kind of sending them stuff without knowing, but they get affected and they probably lose their money. Their accounts are emptied out, whatever the case may be. And somebody has to pay, whether they're your buddy or not. So we have to be very careful. I mean, I normally have as many redundant software, anti-spam, antiviruses, you name it. I love AVG Complete Suite because they have an entire suite of protection. And for people that don't even know how to use computers that much and to keep up to date with, firmware updates and so forth, just to stay protected, they have also features that will scan to see what drivers you need and so forth, et cetera.
AVG actually has a free version that's pretty decent
as well.
So, you can expand, but they even if nothing else, AVG is a pretty good one. Yeah. So
absolutely. Yeah. So basically, we need to be aware of all that, just because we also are aware of the technology of the water, so of the systems and so forth. We need to know what we're using, the tools, everything, the testing tools. We need to know if something fails, how to make it work, how to fix it. Same thing with the computers. We use that on a daily basis. So.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. What other experiences do people have or have you run into? What types of issues has everybody else run into? Thank you, Jose.
Sure.
Anybody else run into this or seen this? So let me give you some tips and I know that a lot of people have seen this stuff, but definitely you're gonna want to delve deeper and kind of look at this stuff and see how it works. But let's start with the experience that I just mentioned with the check with the snail mail. What we've been advised to do is to not mail paper checks from our mailbox anymore. Take it directly to the post office. Now, a lot of people hardly use checks anymore. A lot of people do things digitally. We do still send out some paper checks on occasion. Not many, but they still do go out sometimes. We've been advised to move everything to an ACH, or to put the outgoing mail directly into the blue boxes, you know, into the or take it directly to the post office to do, not to mail that stuff out. Apparently, people come from out of town. And the sheriff, when we made our police report, said that people come from out of town and they, you know, they look for the red flags. They look for those flags to be up, and they look for anything going out that looks like a check. And they're quick. I mean, they did this whole process and deposited our check within a week. It was pretty efficient on how they did it. So, you know, definitely use a little more security when you're mailing stuff out. Make sure you're taking it directly to the post office. In terms of digital stuff, it's a good idea to, you can hover over the URLs. I mean, first and foremost, and as Jose was saying, you need to have good protection. Spamware, programs that recognize spam, and it's better to have higher protection and deal with the repercussions of higher protection, you know, occasionally catching an email. The people say, I don't like having the spam protector on there because it catches legitimate emails. Well, you're better off to go in and look at your spam folder periodically and double check that and make sure that something didn't get missed than to allow that stuff to come through. You know, it is an inconvenience. It sucks, but it's today's world. So you need to have good virus protection, good malware protection, and there are absolutely some free programs out there that are a start. You don't have to spend money to have some basic protection, but I would encourage you to really look into them and research them and find out the best, because the premium versions, they do offer a higher level of protection a little more accurately, and they will, some of them will even offer insurance, to help if you need to recover. You got to just be super careful. Do backups on your website, and do long backups, because here's, you know, you guys, I'm sure, have heard of ransomware, where you click on something and it pops, you know, they say, don't try, and, you know, here's the amount that you owe us to get your website back up. If you try and recover, we'll know. And that's because a lot of times they'll infect your website and then wait a year before they do it. So even your backup, you go back 6 months, and that 6 months has the, you know, still has the infection, and they can tell that you've uploaded that one, and now they come back and do it again. We told you not to try and recover. You know, it's kind of, you know, so make sure that you have backups that go back a while, have strong protection on that. Double check. A lot of times when you look at an email, you know, it'll have somebody's name on there. It says that it came from that person. But then when you look at the reply email address, it may not go back to that person. So you click reply, and there's a completely different email address. And so take a little bit of time. If you get something that seems slightly unusual, take a little bit of time to hover over and make sure that you're replying. If you are going to a bank, Jose said, he said he'd call the bank and have to, you know, 99% of the time they said they didn't send it. Be careful even when you make that call to make sure that you're looking that, don't use the number that came from the email. Because often that bank number goes back to the scammers, right? They know that you're going to be calling. So look the number up from somewhere else. Look it up on the, you know, type in manually the bank's address or phone number and find that phone number and call them directly, not from the number that came from that email that you're calling about. I mean, sometimes I know it's a pain. Like, it feels like, God, how do I have time for all this stuff? That's the way I feel sometimes. You know, it's like I already have these stresses of business ownership and to do all this stuff. And then you just get bombarded, and you know that some of it is going to slip through. And boy, Jose, you are so correct. I also consider myself to be fairly computer literate. And yet sometimes stuff almost gets me. In fact, it has gotten me before. you know, on things, and you click on it, you're like, oh, because you can't unclick it. You know, as soon as you click on something, you can't unclick it. So you just, I think the biggest thing here, and you're absolutely right about the impact it can have on the customers, on the slowing down the business. It's not a bad idea. Those of you that are in, you know, in management or leadership, there are ways. You've got to educate your teams on this stuff, particularly if they are using, you know, we're all using email addresses. We're all emailing each other back and forth. And so it's, you know, a lot of companies, there's software out there that will send out, you know, you can do an education class telling people, you know, giving them the proper procedure for answering emails, for locking that stuff down, you know, for being aware. Although sometimes people, it's like they know it, and you'll kind of get like a teenager. Yeah, I know that, Dad. You don't have to tell me I know that. But then when you send out those, you know, you can test them. You can send out like a practice email where they will, you know, send it out to your team and have it look like it's legitimate, but then have your own internal phishing site and see how many of them actually followed the procedure. You'll be amazed at how many people actually, you know, clicked on something without following those procedures. And then you can take it back and say, look, this was exactly what we talked about. This was a fake. Had this been a bad player, this could have had an impact on the entire company. You know, so you can use that to sort of, so there are programs out there that you can test your own team with, and look at it. Due diligence.
Howard?
Guys. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to add quickly, two things that people get lulled into a false sense of security is we've had emails come looking like they're coming from you.
As the owner, right?
Through. Yeah, and it says, well, Kelly's asking you to pay this invoice.
That's correct. Yeah, that's right.
We're a small enough company that, you know, I know that didn't happen. But if you're in a, you know, even a company of 30, 40, or 50 people, they may not think to go back to that person, or it may look real. And then we had also one come from one of our good customers, and one of the girls in the office did accidentally click on it because she thought that it was a purchase order that he sent in, but he had gotten hacked. So sometimes it's not from the outside, from the bank, from your, you know, cell phone company. It can come from someone that you know, and those are the ones that are really give you a false sense of security.
Especially when, you know, the people will randomly, sometimes they'll do, you know, everybody has an info at, you know, and including us, you know, our companies have info@motivitality.com. And most of it, it's a good guess that companies have that kind of thing. You know, if they look at your domain, look at the other emails or whatever, and they do info. And so, you know, they can, once they get that info, then they're able to spread that out. That's a really great comment too. You're right, Michelle. I remember that's happened a couple times where, you know, please pay this invoice. And they're not that ridiculous. They're not that big, you know. So have somebody that, you know, have a procedure in place that, you know, that helps against that stuff. If nothing else, you guys, any final comments on this topic, on this call? You guys leaving here like scared, like you don't want to even touch the phone now because you're worried that I just infected it?
You're funny. We have a team behind us. We have an IT department, and it happens, and we are always paying attention, that's for sure.
Yeah. It can have an impact. And you know what, Paul, it's good that you have the team. I think that is the lesson here is make everybody on your team aware. There are so many companies out there that don't, you know? So, guys, I hope that you found this interesting. Remember, no call next week, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks. if not before. So everybody be safe. Thank you so much for hopping on. What's our booth number, Michelle?
I'll see you in Long Beach, Kelly.
Yep. See you in Long Beach. Yep. What's our booth number?
1938.
So let's swing by our booth, please. 1938. So we'll see you there. All right. Thanks, everybody. Be safe.
Bye.
Bye.